Thank you. Mr. Slaymaker, you may begin your conference.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining TI's fourth quarter mid-quarter financial update. In a moment, I will provide a short summary of TI's current expectations for the quarter, updating the revenue and EPS estimate ranges for the company. In general, I will not provide detailed information on revenue trends by products or end markets, and I will not address details of profit margins. In our earnings release at the end of the quarter, we will provide this information as usual. After today's call, we will not be available for further discussion this evening. Considering the limited information available at this point in the quarter, and in consideration of everyone's time, we will limit this call to 30 minutes. For any of you who missed the release, you can find it on our website at ti.com/IR. This call is broadcast live over the web and can be accessed through TI's website. A replay will be available through the web. This call will include forward-looking statements that include risk factors that could cause TI's results to differ materially from management's current expectations. We encourage you to review the safe harbor statement contained in the news release published today, as well as TI's most recent SEC filings for a complete description. We have lowered our expected ranges for TI's revenue and EPS, reflecting a significant broad-based deterioration in demand from our customers as the quarter has progressed. We now expect TI revenue between $2.30 and $2.50 billion. We expect earnings per share between 10 and 16 cents. You will note that we have not narrowed these ranges as we usually do at this point in the quarter. This is a result of a high amount of uncertainty that continues to exist in the environment. We are not standing idly by as conditions worsen. We continue to aggressively reduce inventory, even in the face of weaker than expected demand. We're reducing our own inventory and working with our distributors to reduce channel inventory. This means factory utilization levels will also be lower than we had previously expected, and therefore profitability will be lower than we had expected. But we will be well served by keeping a tight rein on inventory levels in this environment. Average factory utilization this quarter is now expected to be in the mid-40s compared with the mid-60s in the third quarter. The last time utilization was at this level was in the second half of 2001. Gross margins were about 22% during that period, 15 to 20 points below where we expect them to be this quarter. The difference illustrates the progress we've made in reducing the company's capital intensity and improving the quality of our product portfolio. We are driving cost actions on multiple fronts under the assumption that this is a significant downturn that will last for a while. We described in October that we believe this downturn would be serious, and fortunately, we've been able to get ahead of it with actions to reduce costs. For example, in addition to the specific wireless actions we announced in October that should reduce annualized expenses by more than $200 million by the middle of next year, today we announced a voluntary retirement program for TI employees. Since participation in this program is voluntary, I cannot provide you an estimate of the associated cost savings, although we should have these numbers for you in January. Similarly, we expect that there will be costs associated with the program this quarter that are not included in our EPS guidance. In addition, we are temporarily idling many of our factories in late December and early in the first quarter to minimize the impact of underloadings. We have suspended essentially all hiring. We have also very tight restraints on capital spending, travel, and discretionary expenses, and we will continue to evaluate other cost actions as we believe appropriate. These actions should begin to result in reductions in cost of revenue and operating expenses in the current quarter, although we expect more significant impact as we move through 2009. We are taking these actions in the context of our priorities and our understanding that analog and embedded processing will be the most important growth drivers for TI in the years ahead. One final comment before we move to Q&A. Given our current estimates for revenue and associated profits, we should have a negative tax accrual this quarter. This includes a benefit of approximately $65 million associated with the reinstatement of the federal research tax credit that was signed into law this quarter and made retroactive to the beginning of the year, as we discussed in October. Our estimate for the full year 2008 effective tax rate remains about 28%. Operator, you can now open the lines for questions. In order to provide as many of you as possible the opportunity to ask a question, please limit yourself to a single question. I will provide you the opportunity to ask a follow-up question. Operator?
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. We will pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Our first question is from the line of Srini Pajjuri with Merrill Lynch.
Said the utilization will go to about 40% levels. I'm just wondering, do you expect that to bottom this quarter, or is it going to be in the next couple of quarters?
Srini, I was just a correction. What I said was we expect it to average about average in the mid-40s this quarter. And, you know, based upon our current operating plan, you know, the mid-40s is an average number. You know, it has come down as we progress through the quarter. Based on our current level of loadings and our current operating plan for the first quarter, we would expect that our utilization level or our current production levels would remain about consistent through first quarter. But again, that doesn't comprehend that late this quarter as well as into early first quarter, we will be doing idlings of our factories as well. But, you know, based upon the operating plan of record that we have in place today, we would expect loadings or utilization level to remain about where it is currently. And again, that's the mid-40s is an average level. It progressed downward through through the quarter, so that would say first quarter average would be a little bit below where we were on average in fourth quarter. Do you have a follow-on stream?
Our first question comes from, I'm sorry, our second question comes from the line of Chris Stanley with J.P. Morgan.
Okay, and operator, we will give each caller an opportunity for a follow-up question if they have one. Okay, let's go to that next caller.
Hey, thanks, Ron. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Great. So it sounds like you guys are cranking up the cost cutting a little bit. So, in other words, can we expect your OPEX to trend down in Q1 and Q2 next year, or is that too far to look out?
Chris, what we've said is we would expect OPEX to be down Q4 versus Q3,
yeah,
and then those cost reductions to continue to gain in magnitude through 2009. I don't know that that would exactly be every quarter a sequential decrease, but in general, we would expect the cost actions to continue to gain momentum through next year. Do you have a follow-on, Chris?
Yes. So, you know, given the current environment is, you know, fairly challenging to say the least, are you guys looking at getting a little bit more aggressive on pricing and picking up a little market share here at the bottom so it helps you more whenever things recover?
Chris, most of the product lines that we sell, price action would have practically no near-term impact on our demand. Pricing usually is a factor at the point of design in for our product lines, and you know, by the time those products literally move into production and begin shipments, it's probably 18 months, maybe even 2 years in many cases. So a price move now generally would translate to revenue impact 2 years out, and who knows what that environment's like. So again, we do not use pricing in, you know, the 95% of our product areas that would be considered proprietary as a means to drive demand. Now, certainly in the less than 5% of our revenue that would be considered commodity, you know, what you're describing is in fact the case where not necessarily we move pricing to gain share to try to fill up or drive volume, but in fact, you know, pricing does move with that near-term environment in that small part of our revenue. Okay, Chris, thank you for your calls and your questions. Let's move to the next caller.
Our next question comes from the line of Glenn Young with Citi.
Thanks, Ron. Just to clarify based on your comments, are you suggesting that the fourth quarter gross margins will be between 37 and 42%?
I think that's a reasonable assessment. Yeah, I think what you're driving that from is when I said Back in, we talked 22%, and that would be 15 to 20 beyond below where we are this quarter. So, yeah, somewhere in that range is about correct.
And, Ron, do you think that you're running below consumption level today? And if the answer is yes, do you have any sense as to when you think customer inventories may be down to a level where you can kind of balance those two things out?
Glenn, we do believe that we are shipping below in demand or in consumption levels today. However, I can't, you know, the issue is that in consumption is continuing to fall as well. So if you're trying to get into when is the inventory depletion complete and, you know, potentially get into a snapback in terms of our own shipments or revenues, the issue is what will happen within demand and, you know, where will that land or where will it settle out once the inventory depletion is completed. So all I can really say is that even though at this point our visibility in the first quarter is very limited, we don't see that type of snapback on the near-term horizon anyway. So, again, we don't have clear visibility as to when customers finish inventory. I would say, though, that when it comes to first quarter and kind of the way that outlook would be, I would say that we're not anticipating an overall recovery in that time period, and, in fact, conditions likely get worse before they get better. So at least, you know, for what it's worth, our current operating plan is assuming that first quarter revenue won't decline as much as it will this quarter as, you know, kind of what you're describing takes place. Basically, some of the inventory effect will be lesser in first quarter than it is in fourth quarter. But nonetheless, we do expect a significant sequential decline again in the first quarter. Do you have a follow-on, Glenn?
That's my second, but thanks.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Glenn. Let's move to the next caller.
Our next question is from the line of Steve Smidgey with Raymond James.
Okay, thank you. In terms of the change in the EPS guidance, I was wondering if you could talk about how much of that is sort of driven by drop in operations versus, one-time charges that you might be taking in the quarter for restructuring activities, et cetera.
It is driven by the change in operations. So it does comprehend. I think last quarter we talked about a penny of impact associated with wireless restructuring that we announced in October. But there is no new restructuring activity that is in that EPS estimate. This is driven by the lower revenue level as well as the lower margins associated with lower factory utilization. Do you have a follow-on, Steve?
Yeah, it was just on lead times, what that looks like now, and in a snapback when that comes, how's that going to progress? Is it, you know, obviously distributors took inventory down now and you know, a drop in demand, but at some point, if you're under shipping demand now, obviously there'll be some quick turn up. But what would that, how would the sort of pattern orders and stuff come or start to look like to you when that starts to recover?
Well, I would say lead times certainly are short pretty much in most product areas. So in general, product availability is not an issue. We welcome that snapback in demand, but again, we don't see it in the near term horizon. But, you know, based upon where the operations are today, again, I would just say product availability is not an issue pretty much across the board. Okay, Steve, thank you. Let's move to the next caller.
Our next question comes from the line of Jim Covello with Goldman Sachs.
Craig Hettenbach standing in for Jim. Just on the wireless handset front, any update on the divestiture of the merchant wireless business?
Craig, I don't really have an progress update for you on the sale of that at all. So just kind of stay tuned, but nothing different in terms of what I have to say now versus what we said in October. Do you have a follow-on, Craig?
Yes. So on the competitive environment, not so much pricing, but just general competitive environment in the high-performance analog and microcontroller space, anything different that you sense out there in this downturn versus prior downturns or how you feel about, you know, TI's positioning in both those markets?
I think we feel good about our positioning. You know, the issue is just one of in demand is, is rapidly drying up. And, you know, I think what you hear us describe is a situation where in demand is going down, but it's also being amplified in terms of its effect on our revenue because there's also a significant inventory reduction that's underway as well. So, for example, you know, we're working with our distributors to ship significantly less product into their channel versus what they're shipping out of their channel to their customers. So, you know, our strategy, even as you saw last quarter, is to stay ahead of this falling demand to minimize inventory excesses in our channels. You'll recall, Craig, last quarter we reduced our inventory at distributors by about $35 million. This quarter we expect our reduction in the distributor channels to be more than twice that amount. So resales, for example, we would expect to be down about 20% this quarter, but we expect our shipments into the distributors to be down significantly more than that as we reduce inventories. And, you know, that's just the distribution channel. OEM customers, you know, are also reducing inventory, with the end result being that the impact on our revenue of weaker in demand, again, will be amplified for some period of time due to the accompanying inventory reduction. So, you know, but that I would describe as, you know, we are doing some things very proactively to make sure we stay well positioned, we stay lean with our distributors, at the same time ship probably a higher percentage of the, I'll call it, amount of supply chain inventory at TI, where we think there's more flexibility in that inventory. So we want to be able to respond quickly when demand returns, but at the same time, we want to be insightful as to where the inventory is, how much is there, and also how we manage it. But again, we think our position in both of those product lines, both analog as well as embedded processing, is probably as strong as it's ever been. It's just a matter of we're facing some pretty high-level macro issues right now. Okay, Craig, thank you, and let's move to the next caller, please.
Our next question comes from the line of Tim Luke with Barclays Capital.
Thanks, Ron. With respect to the calendar first quarter, it sounds like you're implying that you would expect a somewhat below-seasonal first quarter off this lower fourth quarter base. And separately, Ron, in outlining the weakness, it's obviously broad-based, but is it fair to say that you're seeing it more in the high-volume segment of analog or the embedded versus high-performance analog? Any color there would be helpful.
No, I would not say that. I think what I would say is that overall wireless, as I think I said before, wireless is leading the decline, both compared against normal seasonality as well as against what our initial expectations were back in October. But I would also say that all major product areas are weaker than we had expected back in October. And, you know, I think just from the numbers I gave where, again, distributor resales are expected to be down about 20% and our sales into that channel down significantly more than that, you know, that says it also is impacting the catalog product areas in addition to the high volume areas. So, again, across the board, Tim. Do you have a follow-on?
Just with respect to expectations on first quarter seasonality, and maybe as part of that, how you would expect gross margin to be impacted by the seasonally lower first quarter potentially.
Okay, you know, if you just look at last 5-year average, just to define seasonality, our semiconductor revenue typically dips about 4% from the fourth quarter. But again, that's just a seasonal number. I think I'll just repeat what I said before. We expect revenue to decline significantly in the first quarter, although probably not as sharply as what we are seeing in the fourth quarter. So that puts some boundary conditions on it, but I really don't have more to offer than that at this point, Tim. Okay, thank you, Tim, and let's move to the next caller.
Our next question comes from the line of Srini Pajjuri with Merrill Lynch.
And just a quick follow-up. If I look at your inventory days, I guess last quarter it was about 90 days, and I went back and looked at your 2001. You dropped it 50 days. I'm just wondering why you need to keep, I mean, I understand it's going to come down this quarter, but is it going to come down all the way to 50 or 60 days, or is it going to be, you know, at 70, 80 days?
Srini, I think let me just ask that we're careful on the day comparison, because we are going to reduce inventory significantly this quarter. And I think even what we had talked about, and, you know, if you go back to our comments in the fourth quarter, was we expected at that time, you know, something on the order of $150 million reduction. Let me just say, with demand down significantly, more so than what we had expected, that inventory reduction becomes more challenging. But, you know, as you've also seen with the utilization numbers, as demand has fallen below our expectations, you know, we've responded with significant cuts in our production loading. So, you know, what I would say is even as we cut production loadings, there's also a delay between when the loadings are reduced and when this impacts inventory. So, again, we will have a significant reduction in inventory dollars this quarter. The one point I wanted to make, though, is that even with that reduction in dollars, you'll probably see inventory days for TI move up somewhat this quarter, just because the revenue with the kind of numbers we've just provided you, the revenue decline expectations are more than what we expect as a percent of decline on the inventory numbers. So, you know, we're going to bring down inventory dollars significantly, but in the near term, inventory days could move up somewhat. Okay, Joe, follow-on screen? I guess that was your follow-on. Operator, can we move to the next caller, please?
Our next question is from the line of Doug Friedman with Amtech Research.
Hi, Ron. Thanks for taking my question. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what you're seeing in this adjustment period versus what we saw in the dot-com period, and whether TI is holding customers to the typical sales terms, or are we trying to get this sort of correction behind us a little faster?
When you say get the correction behind us faster, what does that mean in terms of sales terms?
The inventory adjustment period, meaning are you holding your – you have a lot of customers that are on just-in-time delivery, so I believe your revenue number probably, you know, corrects to the demand level a bit quicker than maybe some of the your competitors.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So the fact that, yeah, in fact, I think the other consideration I would say, just in general, you know, there's been a long-term trend toward inventory moving probably upstream in the supply chain, meaning we're holding more of the supply chain inventory, and as you pointed out, the just-in-time customers are a good example. You know, further down in the supply chain, there's less inventory as a percentage of the total. The good thing about that is it does allow us better visibility into how much inventory is out there, and therefore better management of that inventory. But at the same time, you know, this is a much different downturn in many ways than what we saw back in 2001. That was pretty much an inventory-driven downturn. So it was just a question of, you know, once we and our customers worked all through the inventory excesses, that defined the bottom. In this case, it is a demand-driven downturn. And as demand goes down, yes, everybody's reducing inventory to appropriate levels to support that demand. But this downturn was not initiated, at least as applies to TI, by excess amounts of inventory at our customers or in the channel. It is a demand-driven downturn. So in some ways similar, in some ways very different. Okay, Doug, do you have a follow-on?
Yeah, if I could. If you could just offer a little bit more color maybe on the mix impact to the margins and how you expect that to play out, you know, on a longer-term basis, possibly.
Doug, I don't really have mixed type of data to provide you at this time, but, you know, I'll just go back to my comments I made earlier. This is a very broad-based decline. And so in terms of the expectations we had as well as just the absolute numbers, all major product lines are down. All major product lines are down more than we had expected in October. And so, therefore, I wouldn't say mix is a very small piece of this. It is much more driven by demand being below expectations and then what we need to do in terms of utilization to be able to adjust for that lower demand. Okay, Doug, thank you. Let's move to the next caller.
Our next question comes from the line of Uche Orje with UBS.
Thank you, my question. Ron, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Right. Ron, one question for me is regards to your outsourcing. How much of your products now are you outsourcing to your foundry partners, and how much are you pulling back into your own process? Just for me to understand the utilization rate guidance.
Okay. Okay, let me answer that, and then I'll come back to you for a follow-on. I don't have especially kind of a mid-quarter update on that for you. You know, historically, almost all of our analog products are sourced inside TI. The advanced logic products, which include products like wireless, we've historically run, probably over the last 6 quarters or so, kind of a 50-50 mix between what was done inside TI and what was done outside at foundries. Currently, a much higher percentage of that production is done inside TI, as that's the entire, you know, strategy of usage of foundries. Basically, as demand goes down, we will ship more of that production inside TI and maintain higher levels of utilization of our factories. So, again, historically, it's run 50-50 on advanced logic. It's higher than that currently. Okay, Uche, do you have a follow-up question?
Right. What is your approach to your use of cash right now? You know, are you still buying back stock, or has the company decided to move more into cash conservation mode and slow down the rate of buyback?
You know, we have a strong cash position. You've seen that cash position move up somewhat over the last couple quarters even. At the same time, we have, in fact, repurchased shares this quarter. And I would just say, Uche, as usual, we'll report the specifics of those share repurchases in January. Okay, Uche, thank you for your question. Let's move on to the next caller.
Our next question is from the line of David Wu with Global Crown Capital.
In terms of the utilization rate of roughly 45% for the fourth quarter, how would you characterize your high-volume digital fabs versus your 8-inch analog fabs?
David, I don't have a breakout between the two. I would say the advanced logic fabs run a higher utilization level because we have the foundries there as buffer.
Yeah.
But other than that as a general statement, I don't have specific utilizations to share between the two different product types. Do you have a follow-on question, David?
Yes. Ron, if we have a recovery sometime in a magical 2009 calendar year, and it's broad, I was just wondering, where would you get the most leverage on the gross margin front, from recovering analog fab utilization rate or the upping of the digital fab utilization rate?
Well, as we fill up the digital fabs, because there's a bigger capital expense or depreciation level associated with those, you know, on a call it a unit per unit basis, we'll get more bang for filling up the digital fabs the rest of the way. But that being said, as I commented before, the analog fabs are more underutilized than the digital fabs, so there's more to go there. You know, the net or total benefit and how it compares between the two, I don't know. The other consideration, David, is assembly test. I mean, assembly test is another part of our production operating environment that has depreciation associated with it, therefore fixed cost. And, you know, is another consideration that as we get more units flowing through the assembly test, and that also helps with gross profit. And again, that doesn't really matter whether it's digital or analog. Any kind of product there helps. Okay, David, thank you for your questions. And, operator, we'll take one additional caller, please.
We have a question from the line of Cody Acree with Stifel Nicolaus.
Hey, thanks, Ron, for fitting me in here. Ron, with assuming your days of inventory in the channel is relatively low, and that may be an assumption given some of the order trends, I guess what level and how much visibility are you, what's driving your visibility that Q1 is going to be down significantly if that days of inventory level is so low?
Cody, let me just say the same thing there that I said with respect to our own days of inventory. We expect a significant inventory reduction at distributors, but when you look at it from a days perspective, we could actually see an increase in days of inventory because their own resales are dropping by 20%. So, you know, all things being equal, with resales going down 20%, we would need to achieve on the order of a 20% reduction in inventory levels in the channel just to be able to maintain consistent days with where we were at the end of the last quarter. So we actually could, even with a significant decrease in inventory levels, whether it's at TI or at our channels, we could actually see days of inventory drift up somewhat. So we don't expect that this inventory reduction is all wrapped up and complete here by the end of the year. Do you have a follow-on, Cody?
Great. Maybe on those distributors, what's your view of the health of those distributors, and is there much of an impact on what you're seeing today as maybe some of those distributors struggle?
Cody, I will say that in general, we believe our distributor network is strong. We generally are dealing with large distributors. But that being said, at the same time, we watch, whether it's the distributors or whether it's our customers, we watch them closely. We watch the payment of their receivables closely. And, you know, our approach is very simple. If we don't get paid or if we're not getting paid on time from those players, we don't ship more products. So we are not going to start letting our liabilities there creep out in terms of payment and, you know, the financial status of those various players. So we keep it tight. We keep a tight watch on it. And at the same time, let me go back and say we believe our distributor network is probably as strong as they come just by nature of the players that we're dealing with. Okay, Cody, thank you for your questions. And before we end the call, let me remind you that the replay is available on our website. Thank you and good evening.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.